similar. So question number one is, what is the definition of simcha? And question number two, what does it mean, zman simcha seinu? And question number two is, Koheles, which we read on Sukkos, at times says, simcha ma'azu asa. Of what value is simcha? Saif davar, Koheles concludes, Saif davar akol nishma, esalikim yirav es mitzvah yisav shemar, gizek kol adam. What is a person? What a person is when he used to focus on Yerushalayim. Question number three, in regards to the customs of Hoshana Rabbah, Hoshana Rabbah, almost every single one of the customs are based in sources that are, for lack of a better term, Kabbalistic. We're going to try tonight to understand, in a few hours, we're going to be doing chibud arava. We're going to be banging arava. What is that? What is chibud arava? Taking the arava and banging it into the ground? What is chibud arava? Question number three. What does it symbolize? What's behind it? Question number four. The Mishnah in Sukkah tells us that when it rains, then we're potter from Sukkah. But it adds, Mashalama Adavar Dhamma, what's it similar to? Ve'eved Shebo Limzoig Kais L'Rabbi, a servant that comes to pour Yayin for his master. Now, here, what the Mishnah is describing is, when the servant used to bring wine, wine was very, very thick, and he would dilute it with water. And he takes, the master takes the water, and he throws it back into his face. If it rains on Sukkot, we're potter. But a very, very interesting mashal. What is that mashal? That we come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws the water in our face, and that's like a rain, chas v'chalila, on Sukkos. So we want to understand, what is that mashal? Number five. We're going to try to deal with a lot of different dinyanim of Sukkos. Number five. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rikanti that quotes a Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Rav Miller Shlita told me that Rabbeinu Yitzchak is no one less than the Arizal, who said that on Sukkot night he had a dream, and in his dream he saw Yud Kei Vav Kei. By the way, whoever says that halacha is just rational has to deal with this. Has to deal with the fact that Beis Yosef quotes the sources that are quite Kabbalistic. He had a dream, and he saw the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Shem Hashem, but one of them was separate from the rest. One of them was separate from the rest. And he realized that what that meant was that individual who was taking the Lulav and Esrog was not careful to join the Esrog to the Lulav and Arava. And somehow they understood that there is a deep component of connecting and holding together the lulav and esrog together, and one has to be very, very careful not to separate them. What does that mean? What does it mean that somehow, because the lulav is separated from the esrog, so then somehow there's something missing, that the Shemos Hashem become separated from each other, and that's a terrible thing. So we have five questions, all basic questions to Sukkos. Number one is, what is the definition of Simcha Zman Simcha Seinu? Question number two, if Sukkos is Zman Simcha Seinu, so then why is it that when it comes to Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkos, just a few hours ago, We read Koheles, where Koheles says, Simcha mazu asa, of what value is Simcha? It seems to be almost entirely contradictory to Zman Simcha Seinu. Question number three, in a few hours from now, we're going to be banging the Arava into the ground. What does that represent? Question number four, what does the Mishnah in Sukkah mean when it says that when it rains, it's as if there's an Eved that comes to pour to his master wine? Wine? What does wine have to do with Sukkahs? Actually, in Sukkahs, we do Nisach HaMayim, we don't do Nisach HaYayin. So, coming to pour wine, and it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws that water back into our face. What exactly is that mushel that the Mishnah is driving at? And question number five is, what does the Rikanti mean that somehow the Esrog represents a letter of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then when one separates the lulav from the esrog, then it's as if you separated the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Five questions. Are most of you staying up tonight? We have a little bit of time? Okay. So, I'm not going to start off right away answering the questions. We have a little bit of time. I want to tell you a chidush that I realized in halacha about Yeshiva Sukkah. That first glance really has nothing to do with the questions that we asked. But eventually, first of all, I was excited. I want to share with you the chiddush that I developed this Sukkot. Nothing fancy, just something I realized. I think many misunderstand. And then develop what is Yeshiva Sukkah, what is the essence of what Yeshiva Sukkah represents, and then eventually get back to touch on all the other points that we had mentioned as well. There's a famous psak of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, Nohagu, at the end of Tuf Reish Lamites, I believe. The Mechaber says, Nohagu she'ein mevarechen leishe basuka elo lefnei achila bilvad. Our custom is that we only make the bracha of leishe basuka when we eat in the sukkah. That's when we make the bracha of leishe basuka. When I was asked as a child, when is it that I make a bracha when I go into the sukkah? So I thought that the only time you make a bracha when it comes to sukkahs, a place of a sukkah, is before you eat. I'd like to point out to you that that childish understanding of the Mechaber is just simply incorrect. It's not correct. There's a well-known machlokas within the Rishonim whether every time you go into the sukkah you need to make a bracha of leishev asukkah. The Gra, Rav Nevinzal Shlita, follows this opinion of the Gra. Is of the opinion that when it comes to leishev asukkah, anytime you go into the sukkah for any extended period of time, you make a bracha of leishev asukkah. The Mechaber is disagreeing with those Rishonim. The Mechaber is saying that there are times that we make it, particularly when we eat, and not every time we walk into the sukkah. What's that machlokis rishonim? What's going on over there? So if you take a look at the Mordechi in the end of sukkah in Tav Shin Samachay, he quotes a machlokis between the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam, whether you make a bracha of leishei basukah every time you come into the sukkah, or if you already made a bracha when you ate and you leave for a short period of time, do you go back and you make a new bracha? And the quote from Rabbeinu Tam is, Rabbeinu Tam cholek v'omer, shebirchas leishe basuka shebesu'uda, poteres kol dvar til v'shena misu'uda lesu'uda. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that even if you've left the sukkah, if you didn't leave the sukkah for an extended period of time, and you didn't yet eat a new meal, you didn't leave and then come back to eat a new meal, then Rabbeinu Tam says the bracha that you made on breakfast, leishei basukah, extends for other things as well. So if you go to someone else's sukkah for a tiyul, then in such a case, since you didn't have a full hafsek of a leishet basukkah, the bracha continues. However, says the Taz, if a person went to shul and for some reason he's not eating. Now most people are eating on sukkahs. The Taz's example is if an individual has a tainus chalom, so he's not eating, he's fasting because of a dream. Says the Taz, everybody would agree that if you go into the sukkah to learn, you would make a bracha. So I realized for 40 years, I misunderstood this statement of the Mechaber. When the Mechaber says our minhag is only to make a bracha on food, he means that if you made a bracha on food and you left the sukkah for a short period of time and you come in again, you don't make a new leishei basukkah. But if a person went to shul in the morning and for whatever reason he's not eating, so then in such a case the bracha of leishei basukkah would be said. Why do I first of all, I had this Havana that was new for me this year, so I wanted to share it with you. But I also want to bring out something that's extremely important in terms of leishei basukkah, and it's going to begin to give us a deeper understanding of what the avodah of sukkahs is about. The bracha of leishei basukkah is not about eating in the sukkah. The mitzvah, of course, is basukas teishu shivas yamin, that we're supposed to dwell in the anane akavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah is. And there's something that's extremely, extremely profound that's happening. It's not that we're chayiv to be in a sukkah when we eat, but rather, there's something entirely different. It's entirely different. But rather, what we're supposed to do is dwell in those four walls in Tzchach to transplant ourselves, say midera diras keva, go out from your sense of being in your own house and your own protection, and come into the anani akavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the avodah of Sukkot is all about. Now let me share with you a fascinating story. It's a halachic story. And then we're going to be able to begin to get back to the questions that we were asking. It's the first night of Sukkot. Chaslavich. Anybody know where Chaslavich is? It's in Lithuania. It's the place that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was Rav. Rav Soloveitchik at the time wasn't known as Rav Soloveitchik, wasn't even known as Rav Yosef Dov. He was known as Beryl. He was 11 years old at the time. And it rained. We're getting to the Mishnah about rain and the Eved. It rained on the first night of Sukkot. What's the halacha, Rabosa? Anybody know what are you supposed to do if it rains on the first night of Sukkot? What do you do? What? That's right. Kiddush and Amotzi, either Kazayas or Kabetza, depending on the opinion, and then you go back into the house. So that's what they did in Chaslavich 90 years ago, 100 years ago. And they went back inside. See, more than that. It's now 110 years ago. 110 years ago. And they went back inside in the house, and it didn't stop raining. Little Beryl went to sleep. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, he feels his father jostling him, waking him up. He says to him in Yiddish, Beryl, shtey oif. Beryl, it's time to wake up. It's regenish. It's not raining anymore. So Soloveitchik is a child prodigy. Said to his father, you're waking me up to that I should go into the sukkah, right? Said, yes, it's not raining anymore. Said, father, I don't understand. You who are up and still learning at 3 in the morning, so it's not a tsar for you. But for me to get out of bed at 3 in the morning, I'm mitzvah. So what's the reason that you're waking me up? You're waking me up because now it's not tsar because it's not raining in the sukkah, but I'm a mitzvah right now to go into the sukkah. So I was mitzvah before, and I'm mitzvah now. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik answered him. It's a brilliant question, right? He said, no, Beryl, you didn't understand. He says, the Gra writes on Shulchan Aruch, and this is going to be our linchpin to try to get to the depth of what Zman Simcha Seinu was all about, using this one particular halacha. The Gra writes in Shulchan Aruch that when there's Yiridas Geshamim, when it rains, Ein Shein Sukkah Allah. It's not the pshat that you're patur because you're mitzta'er, and there are some Rishonim who hold that even though you're mitzta'er on the first night, you have to eat in the sukkah. There are other Rishonim, and the Gra paskins this way, that it's not even a sukkah at all. When it rains, there's no sukkah. So I'd like to understand with you tonight what that Gra means. That when it rains, there's no shame sukkah. So Rav David Cohen, Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron, in his Sefer Zman Simcha Seinu, explains beautifully that this dovetails with another Gra that explains the Tzarech Iyun that we had said on the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that someone who comes on Sukkot and walks into the Sukkot and it rains, it's like an Eved that comes to serve his master, and the master throws the water back into his face. Says the Gra, not in Shulchan Aruch, in one of his Agadah Sfarim. Says the Gra, Yayin. Does anybody know this? Yayin al pi Kabbalah represents what? Din. Mayim represents Chesed and Rachamim. Says the Gra as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours the water to us back into our faces, that was what the Adam did. He took the water and he throws it back into the face of the Eved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Chalila is saying that I have to have a relationship of din with you, because he holds on to the Yayin that the Eved brings him, which represents din, and he throws back at him in his face, he throws back to him the water. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chas V'Chalila saying that there's a relationship of din and not the relationship of chesed, not the relationship of rachim. And when it doesn't rain on Sukkot, it's the exact opposite. Koyamar Hashem zacharti lo chesed nurayich avas kuloy soyich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I remember, Klal Yisrael, the time that when I held you in my embrace, when I held you in the Anane HaKavod. Rabosai, we have less than 24 hours to walk into the Kanfei HaShechina, to walk into a sukkah, which represents the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's particular Hashkacha Pratis of Klal Yisrael. That's what the sukkah represents. If that's what the sukkah represents, if that's what the sukkah represents, so then we begin to understand a little bit of what Zman Simcha Seinu was. So let's review what we have. Yeshiva sukkah is not just simply eating inside of the sukkah. Yeshiva sukkah is much more than that. Yeshiva Sukkah is every part of our existence on Sukkot is to be surrounded by the Kanfei HaShechina. The Kanfei HaShechina represents the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the unique relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Simcha? The Maharal writes that Simcha is not what most people think it is. Simcha is not someone standing on top of a van that says, na na, on it, and jumping to the beat of trance music. What is then simcha? Maral says on the pasuk called Sason v'kol Simcha that simcha is shleimus. Simcha is when a man and a woman take the existence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them and they're complete in it. In other words, a person who's besimcha is a person who's entirely, to use a modern term, is entirely present. A person who is there in that situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put them and is misameach, ezeu ashir, ha misameach b'chelko. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you certain things and he didn't give you other things, simcha is an individual who's shalem with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made them and the lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them. Why is Sukkot Zman Simcha Seinu? Sukkot is Zman Simcha Seinu because we have to appreciate the development of two Lifnei Hashems. The Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should become pure. When is that? It's Yom HaKippurim. There's only one other place that we have Lifnei Hashem. Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create us like angels. Some of the Talmidim here have heard from me in the past that on Yom HaKippurim we're supposed to be like angels. My great-grandmother, Bubba Chana, who was killed by the Nazis al Kiddush Hashem, stood all of Yom HaKippurim. Once upon a time, and even on a lower Madrega ourselves, on Yom Kippur, we were entirely removed from the world of Gashmi. That's being Lifnei Hashem Titaru. But of course you know that the ultimate of the holiday season in the Jewish calendar is not Yom Kippur. In fact, on a spiritual plane, it's almost anticlimactic. At the end of the day, the year, in terms of the development of Avodas Hashem, does not culminate with Yom HaKippurim. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim, says the Gra Ata v'chartanu, is Pesach. Mahavta isanu is Shavuos. What's the ultimate, the culmination? V'ratzisa banu. Ritzui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't desire us in Yom HaKippurim. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make you that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make you as a malach. The goal of Yom HaKippurim for tonight, the goal of Yom HaKippurim is for a person to stand as an angel and see the world from the perspective of a malach and then be able to go back to achila and shtia and shena and be able to do it betoch kanfei hashchina. The Nefesh HaChaim writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us from the highest point. There's nothing higher than a human soul, but he's also at the end of creation. He spans all parts of creation. He's at the end of the sixth day because his guf comes from the lowest point of creation. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. And the Gra writes in Aderes Eliyahu in a few places that man's tafkid is to be able to take the guf that he was created with and be able to make it consistent, shalem, besimcha, with his neshama. And that's why Sukkot is the culmination. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Because what's the definition of simcha? Definition of simcha is shleimus. So the dancing, I would argue, in Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the high that you might have had on Simchas Beis HaShoeva in dancing, is not the simcha that's simply the beat of the music, but rather it's using Kol Atzmoisei Tamarna. It's using all of your Amachei Varm and Shesagidim in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's where the guf becomes one with the neshama. And on Yom HaKippurim, the guf is not one with the neshama. That's the definition of simcha. Oh, in Kenim Advar. So now we can begin to understand what's going on in Koheles. Rav Miller Shlita described that if man tries to understand everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, he's going to end up frustrated. He won't reach the Madrega of Simcha. L'simcha zu asa. L'mazo asa. Ultimately, man who begins to understand, try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, is going to realize HaKol Hevel. You can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. You know why? Because at the end of the day, the only one who could appreciate everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because the only one who could appreciate Shleimus from a broader perspective is Kudsha Brichu. We're not capable. But there is a simcha that we are capable of reaching, and that is an individual who's b'sameach b'chelko. When Koheles is critical of simcha, that's an individual who's trying to make Shleimus in every part of understanding God's world. But there is simcha that a person can have, and that's simcha of the individual who recognizes that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him is exactly what he needs. And the goof that he has, with the neshama that he has, is the ultimate shleimus. A greater shleimus than that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. But an individual shleimus, that individual could have l'fnei Hashem, u'smachtam l'fnei Hashem elokeichem. So that's what Koheles concludes. Soif davar akol nishma eselokim yira. If a person recognizes that at the end of the day everything comes from Kudsha Brichu, and at the end of the day what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him is exactly what he needs, then ultimately that's a true simcha. But a simcha that an individual tries to make sense of everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that he won't be able to do. And on that, the simcha mazu asa. So what do we have? Let's review what we have up until now. We have a definition of simcha. We have an understanding of what yeshiva sukkah is all about. Yeshiva sukkah is all about being able to come betoch kanfei hashchina and be able to be ma'ala, raise up our achila and shtia in avodas Hashem. And now we're ready to go to the Rakanti. The Rakanti had a dream, describes a dream that the Arizal had. The Arizal had a dream where the Esrog was separated from all the other Minim. What does the Esrog represent? So if you take a look at the Nachlas David's Drushos, Nachlas David argues that Esrog is different than all the other Minim. The Esrog has a Psul Mare. The Esrog is the only Min that ideally is possible if it just doesn't look right. Even though there's no inherent internal psul, the Esrog is still possible. Al Pi Kabbalah, the Nachlas David argues, that each one of the Minim correspond to four different places in the world. The lowest level of the world is the world of Asiya. Then you have the world of Yitzira. Then you have the world of Bria. And then you have the world of Atzilus. When we daven in the morning, brachos correspond to the world of Asiya. We then correspond to Psuk and Zimra, to Yitzira. The brachos, the birchos, Kriya Shema correspond to the world of Bria. And Shmona Esrei itself corresponds to the world of Atzilus. That's the world, Kaviyachol, of Shechina. Yudke Vavke, argues in Achaz David, corresponds also to those different worlds. And the Esrog represents the world of Atzilus, the perfection of what the Esrog is supposed to be. What the Rakanti had a dream about was the Yud from Yudke Vavke was separated from each other. The essence of what the Dalet Minim are is that on Sukkot it's about bringing together the upper worlds and the lower worlds. On Yom HaKippurim, it's possible to have an Esrog by itself. But the whole avoda of Sukkot is the ability for man who represents both the highest and the lowest parts of the universe, being able to be mechaber, to join both of those parts together. And therefore, when the Esrog is separated, then that's defying what Sukkot is all about. Of course, this fits in beautifully with the more famous Medrash, that the Esrog represents the Tzaddik and the Aravos represent the Rishayim, and the idea is to join them all together. Because Sukkis is a time where everything is supposed to be joined together. In contrast, V'amevin Yavin T'yom HaKippurim, where we say, Anu Matirin L'Ispalo Imar V'yonim. It's mutter now. We're matir to daven that the tzaddikim should daven with the balei averim. No, on Yom HaKippurim, they're all supposed to be joined together. Everything is supposed to be joined together. The ramachei varim and shasagidim are all joined in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's simcha. That's why it's called Zman Simcha Seinu. That's so, we're ready to go to Hoshana Rabbah. Very, very hard to understand what exactly the banging of the Arava represents. What is it? So I'd like to suggest that the Pshat, based on the Shalah, requires us to understand one more unique Avodah Sukkos. We've spoken about quite a few things that we're trying to argue fits in, that Sukkos has this general theme, as Zman Simcha Seinu, and almost all of the avodos fit into that general theme. The Gemara in Tainus on the Chaf Hei Amabez quotes a pasuk in Tehillim to describe the avoda on Sukkis of Nisuch HaMayim. The Nisuch HaMayim was, of course, that we poured Mayim in the Beis HaMikdash. What does that represent? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Tahoim el Tahoim Kairei Litzin Arecha. And the Gemara describes that there are two friends. The two friends are the rakia, the water that's below the earth, that Kadosh Baruch Hu separated from at the beginning of creation, from the waters that are above the heavens. Now, we don't know exactly what those waters mean, but we know that there's water that's me'al rakia, and there's water that's below the karka. It's referred to as Tahom and Tahom. That's the Gemara in Tainus on Chaf Hei Amabez says. And the Gemara says that the time that the waters are poured, then the two Tahoms, they call out to each other as friends. Let us once again join together. Atkan, the Gemara in Tainus on Chaf Hei Amabez. Let us once again be joined together. That's what happens in Nisuch HaMayim. Says the Nesi L'Shalom. On Sukkis, what does that Gemara represent? The Gemara is referring to the fact that man could live, and by the way, this is brought out in the Gra as well, on the Pasuk Ve'ed Yala Min Haaretz, that man could live in two different realms. There's man that lives in the realm that is natural. I think the easiest way to describe what the Gra is saying is man who has a relationship with God, but it's a relationship of Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who provides and at times punishes. And then there's another relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that relationship is a relationship of Yudke Vavke. And that relationship is a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gra develops on the Pasuk Ve'ed Yala Min Haaretz that when it comes to our relationship with Kudsha Baruch Hu, every human being has either a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he's sustained by the water from the lower worlds, or he has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's sustained by the water of the upper worlds. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, the avoda of Hoshana Rabbah is where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our relationship with Him not be defined as a relationship of Elohim, but one that is elevated, that's a relationship of Yud Kei Vav Kei. One that's elevated in which we're not just simply receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that which we need, but what we have a relationship that is being fostered and developed with Kudsha Baruch Hu. And that's what's represented in the Gemara in Tainus on Chaf Hei Amabez, when the Gemara says, Time El Time Kare L'Tzina Recha. So now we've understood something else about Sukkis. Something else that's also about reconciliation about the lower worlds and the upper worlds. Another form of shleimus. The world was separated. There was a tzimtzum. There was that the waters that are close to God, and then there are the waters that are much further to God. Now, God is godly over both of them. But in one, it's a relationship of Elohim. And the other is Yudke Vavke. What happens on Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos? There's a reconciliation between the two. That the two could be brought together. Just like our guf and our neshama could be brought together. Which is what the Esrog represents. When it's connected to the Lula. Okay. Now we're ready to go to the last day. We're ready now for Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar writes, you know, before I develop the final punchline of how it works, let me just discuss a couple of halachos about Chibut Arava that will fit in beautifully with the theme. In Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that when the time comes to bang the Arava, that you have two options. Shulchan Aruch writes, in Hilchos Hoshana Rabbah, you can bang it on a kli or on the ground. The Zohar describes the banging of the Arava onto the ground. The Sefer Bikurei Yaakov suggests that what you should do is when it comes the time to bang the Arava, bang it five times first onto the ground. And for those who have the custom also to bang on a utensil, to bang it afterwards on a utensil. Why? He says, because when you bang that rubber on the ground, so then it's not as likely for the leaves to fall off. But when you bang it on a utensil, it's more likely for it to fall off. Ad kan habikurei Yaakov. So halacha l'maisa, before we even go on, just in terms of the banging of that rubber, I would recommend that first you bang it on the ground. If you have a custom in your family also to bang it on your utensil, afterwards to bang on your utensil, the custom is to bang it five times. But what does the banging on the ground represent? So if you take a look, I think it's mukhrich in the Zohar, but it's mufurish in the Shalah. The Shalah says that the Arve Nachal that's referred to in the Pasuk in Parshas Emor corresponds to a Nachal that goes out of Gan Eden. And he says that it's a Nachal that goes out, Rabbo said, listen to these amazing words, from the Mayim Ha'elyon of Gan Eden. Wow, wow, wow. Mayim Ha'elyon. Sounds familiar? Remember we spoke about the Mayim Ha'elyon from the Rekia? And the Shalah says that the idea of Chibud Arava is taking the Mayim Ha'elyon and bringing it down to the ground. I'd like to be mechadesh tonight that what the Shalah is driving at fits into the whole theme that we've been suggesting about what Sukkos is all about. Normally, most people live in a world where there's spirituality or there's physicality. Avodas Hashem, we spoke about the essence of the guf and the neshama, is the ability to reconcile the two. And that is simcha. And that's zman simcha seinu. The avodah of Nisuch HaMayim is a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our parnasa, that our business life, that our interpersonal relationships, which are all worldly, gashmi things, be also spiritual. That not only that we go to work and earn a living, but that should be connected to something that's bigger, that's holier, that's loftier. That's what Nisuch HaMayim represents. Ulai v'ulai, that's the pshat of Chibud Arava. According to what the Shalah adds, and I believe it's Mukhrach in the Zohar that way as well, the avoda of Chibud Arava is taking the Arava that comes, that's nurtured by the Mayim Elyon, and being able to bring it down to the Karka. The Karka, where man is created at the end of 6 days, at the end of creation, because the avoda of Hoshana Rabbah, and what makes Hoshana Rabbah unique, and might be the unique form of the Yom HaDin of Hoshana Rabbah, is whether not simply man is going to live. That's Yom HaKippurim. That's Yom HaKippurim. That's Yom HaDin. maybe on Hoshana Rabbah, that psak has already been given. Mi yichya or mi yamus. We don't daven for mi yichya or mi yamus on Hoshana Rabbah. But on Hoshana Rabbah, we're davening for something else. On Hoshana Rabbah, we're davening for something that's much more subtle. It's not about life or death. On Hoshana Rabbah, we're davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ability to join our guf and our neshama. That the Mayim HaElyon should be connected to the karka. That our grounds, which refers to all part of our materialism, be nurtured by our spirituality. You hear that sentence again? Let me say that again. That our materialism, the ground, should be nurtured by heavenly spiritual expression. And that might be what Chibur HaRava is all about. If that's so then we've shown many things in Sukkos that are directly connected to the unification of Guf and Neshama. The essence of sitting in the Sukkah. Sitting in the Sukkah represents, let's bring that point home. What other mitzvah do we have that by definition is only physical? Every other mitzvah that we have, except for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's no other mitzvah. All other 611 mitzvahs have a spiritual component to it. So for example, Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKein has a spiritual component, a mercy. Every other mitzvah, putting up a mezuzah, it's to remind you. Even mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, all of them have a spiritual component. There are only two mitzvahs that a person just indulges in their corporeal state, and that by definition becomes avodas Hashem. Eretz Yisrael, which we're not talking about tonight, we're zocha to be part of now, and Sukkah. So what is Sukkah? Sukkah is about the ability for a person to take his achila, shtia, and shena and be able to do it betoch kanfei hashchina. And that's what the Rakanti was bringing out. The idea of the esrog being mechuber to the other minim. The esrog being mechuber to the other minim is the idea of taking the arava and the adasim, which each one of them have corporeal components, and raise that to the point of atzilus. That comes back to Yiridas Geshamim. Because Sukkis is all about what is Yiridas Geshamim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas v'Chalila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming along and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that no, I'm not letting you reconcile these two. You have to live in a world of Elohim, not a world of Yudkei Vavkei. It's the only din. It's only the biyayin. And that's what the Gra meant when the Gra said, when there's Yiridas Geshamim, there's no shame sukkah. Because what does the sukkah represent? The sukkah represents the ability for man to take his achila, shina, and shnia, and be able to put it betoch kanfei hashchina. That is the ultimate rachmanus. And that's the ultimate simcha. Because the ultimate simcha is man who is shalem with who he is. And being shalem means wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you, you have your guf and neshama. If you have your guf and your neshama, that's all you need. Everything else is betoch kanfei hashchina. That's a pshat, Chibur HaRava. Chibur HaRava is all about the ability to take those mayim elyonim, the ultimate spirituality, and be able to put it onto the ground. And that's the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah of Geshem, and the tefillah of Hoshana, that's Bechag Nidonin Alamayim. Nidonin Alamayim, generally, Mayim is understood as Parnasa. But it's not just Stam Parnasa. It's a tefillah that our Parnasa should be suffused with the spirituality. That when man goes to earn his living during the winter months ahead, the farmer that goes, that farmer should be able to take the Mayim Elyonim, all of that Ruchnias, and be able to put it into the Karka. That should be entirely consistent. That there shouldn't be a dissonance between who he is as a corporeal being versus his spirituality. Well, everything is supposed to be linked. And that's why Sukkos is the culmination. Because man wasn't created as an angel. So Lefnei Hashem Tetaru is not enough. Lefnei Hashem Tetaru is not Simcha. Lefnei Hashem Tetaru is not Simcha. It's Tahara. Tahara is amazing. But it's not Simcha. Because man is not Shalem on Yom HaKippurim. Man is Shalem now. And what we're davening for to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in the next few hours is that we should be able to be Shalem in both our Guf and our Shama. That our Guf and our Shama could be Mashlim, each one the other. And with that, Be'ezer Hashem, we should be Zocha truly to a winter that is full of Ruchnias and Gashmias. The Gashmias that is brought down with the Ruchnias. A Gashmias where we take the Chibut HaRavah and be able to put it into the ground. A Gashmias that has Tohoim El Tohoim Kari Litzina Recha. And that's the Avodah, Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim is all about that reconciliation. Be'ezer Hashem, with that, we'll be able to truly lead lives of Simcha. Because the moment in which man begins to internalize these messages, the moment that a person could truly live the Simcha. That was what Rav Miller Shlita's point of what Koheles is all about. Koheles is all about that at the end of the day, if man tries to figure everything out in the world, he's going to be frustrated. Because he can't make Shlimus in the entire world. But he can make Shlimus for himself. The only one that can make Shlimus in the entire world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So no philosophy in the world is going to help you in understanding everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. But what you can do, what you do have control over, is your own simcha. And your own simcha is being shalem with who you are. Shalom with the situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. You think about all the frustrations that we have in life, all of kina, all of taiva, and all of kavod, is a person who is not satisfied with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. It's not shalom. So that's the definition of simcha. The definition of simcha is a person being shalom with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. And the key to shleimus starts with the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a guf, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a neshama, and both of them work in consonance with each other. That's how avodas ma'asim tasein. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zocha to truly live lives of simcha, be able to take the avoda of the choref, one's winter's work, whether it be in university or in yeshiva, be able to take all of the parts of one's winter avoda, where there's consonance between both the guf and the neshama, and may our tefilas and chibud arava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mekayim it, that we should be zocha to be ma'ala the guf with the neshama. You had a question? Oh, very good. Very good. So this whole Mahalach that I'm presenting now works within the Zohar in his understanding of Chibur HaRavah. What I haven't worked out, maybe in a couple of years from now, and Hoshana Rabba will discuss, is it seems that according to the Shita that holds that you're bang on a kli, that the idea is to bang the Arava to the point that the leaves fall off. So there is another line in the Zohar that speaks about the banging of the Arava as banging out the din. Like almost like beating out the din out of the Arava. So it seems to me that there's almost two different tracks of how to understand Chibud HaRavah. And I haven't developed the second track. So tonight I spoke about the first track. It seems that according to the Shalah and the Zohar, the idea is that the Chibud HaRavah is, as we described, bringing the Mayim El Yonim down into the Karka. It seems like the other Havana is that somehow you're supposed to break the din that's in the HaRavah. So that's why you do have, like you have kids that are on Hoshana Rabbah, like beat it, and then the parents say there's no Indian to beat it. So it could be, according to Bikur Yaakov, it really depends on the two customs. When it comes to banging on the ground, there's no, in Bikur Yaakov, he makes no mention of knocking off the leaves. So he says, so therefore, if you bang on the ground five times, it's still going to be a kasher arava. So you can now be mekayim with the kasher arava, the other position, and knock it on the kli. But if you knocked it on the kli first, so then the leaves would come off, it would be pasul as an arava, and then you wouldn't be able to put it onto the ground. That's why the Bikur Yaakov says to do it in that order. Hayotze midvarenu, then our mahalach tonight fits into the approach that's chibut ala karka, which I think most people say, as opposed to chibut ala kli. we would have to develop together to understand what does Chibut HaKli represent, and I'm not sure yet what that is. It's Yom Tov, everybody.
Thank you. Is you?
I'm not.